Welcome to Reflections from the Heart, presented by Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. Reflections from the Heart is an outreach of Gospel Reflection, a family ministry of Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. For the next 30 minutes, please join us as we break open the bread of life in the Gospel reading for this Sunday's Mass, as we invite the same Holy Spirit who inspired the biblical writers to inspire us today. And now, here is your host with Reflections from the Heart.
Welcome, everyone, to another session of Reflections from the Heart. My name is David Abel. Today, I'm joined by Rob Longo and Cameron Norris. Welcome, one and all.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Awesome.
Good to have you back, brother.
Well, thank you. It was with 7 children, 5 grandchildren. It was awesome the way we celebrated Christmas. So, with that, before we break open the bread of life, Rob, do you mind inviting the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we're able to hear what we're to hear, to see what we're to see, and then to put it into action?
Absolutely. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to break away from the day, to break away from the normal schedule, just to gather here, for all of our listeners to gather wherever they are, to just to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you speak to us throughout our day, through the goodness and the beauty of your creation, through your word, through people, through music. Lord, you're reaching out to us all the time. So, Lord, I just ask you, please, for those of us here in the studio, for everyone listening, that we would have hearts open to receive and then generous to give. Thank you, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. And Cameron, do you mind giving us a little gospel love?
I would love to. We're in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. John was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him, and he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they went, and they saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You were sharing, Cameron, when you read, "Behold the Lamb of God," I can just envision that moment. I mean, the earth must have quaked. The heavens must have came alive when those words were prophetically uttered by John, because the depth of the meaning of that truth had to rock them to their very core, because all of the Jewish faith was waiting for the Messiah, the Christ. They knew through the Old Testament, because we all know that in the Old Testament, it's concealed, and in the New Testament, it's fully revealed in Jesus Christ. So when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," this was the promised Lamb that God the Father promised to Abraham when Abraham was asked by God to sacrifice his own son. And as an imitation of God the Father, he was obedient. He didn't question it. And he took his son up the mountain, asked his son to carry the wood for the fire on his shoulders, which represented Christ carrying the wood of the cross. And then just before he sacrificed his only son that he waited all his life for, the angel stopped him. And the angel said, "God will provide the lamb." And then as the story goes, Abraham saw a ram caught in the bushes and sacrificed the ram. But the prophetic utterance of the angel was, "God will provide the lamb." And he did. his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And we know in Jewish tradition throughout the centuries, all throughout the Old Testament, it was the practice of the Jewish people at Passover to take the lamb, and the high priest would lay his hand upon that lamb as a symbol that all the people's sins of that year would go onto that lamb, and then that baby lamb with no broken bones would be sacrificed for the atonement of the sins of all. And as we keep digging into this, we understand that that same lamb that was sacrificed then was to be roasted, entrails and all, and fully consumed, eaten. And when we get that, then that connects the dots for us even further scripturally and biblically, because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And we come to realize, and he tells us, the bread that I will give, future tense, is my flesh for the life of the world. Jesus gave us his flesh. And then, being this sacrificial lamb whose death on the cross was for all, once for all, he's our sacrificial lamb who then offers his very body, blood, soul, and divinity to us every day at the Mass. As the Lamb of God, we consume him fully and completely so that we are transformed, sharing in his divinity, transformed into what we eat. We become Christ in the world in our uniqueness. This little phrase, behold the Lamb of God, has such depth of truth and beauty of the promise of God the Father throughout the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament, and now lived out every day in our Catholic faith at the Mass every day. So for me, my brothers and sisters, if you've got the opportunity to go to receive the Lamb of God, go and receive, because it's that food which we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. What bread? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus doesn't give us a hunk of flesh. In his truth and beauty, he gives us his entire body, blood, soul, and divinity found in the Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving. That gift gives life to the soul and allows us to be invitations, just as John was, into that not just personal, but ever-deepening, intimate relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So good, Dave. I love it. Welcome back for sure. I'm thinking about this lamb. It, like, sometimes it's easy, somebody says something about a lamb, like, to picture Fluffy. Like, Fluffy, the white lamb, so cute. Or, like, putting ourselves in their culture in that day, a lamb was for one thing. It was a sacrifice. That's what the lamb represented to that entire culture. So when John, who it says is the greatest until John, he only has so many things that he actually is credited for saying in the Bible. And one of those very profound things is the quote here, behold, like, put your attention, take this in, this is a big deal. And he says, the Lamb of God. He wasn't saying how cute and fluffy. He was saying the sacrifice that's needed, because there's a sacrifice that's needed, because the wages of sin is death.
And the covenant had been broken.
That's right. And I mean, if you sum up the Bible, you could do it different ways, but one way to do it is to say the kingdom of God coming to earth. Like, the idea that Jesus came to restore humanity, it had to be done through a covenant with blood. And doing it every year with a lamb, a sheep, it wasn't going to be able to wash away the sin. It would cover it for that year. But the Lamb of God does something different. It actually says, all of this sin and you are not meant to be with each other. I'm going to separate those two as far as the east is from the west, and I am going to call you white as snow. I mean, it's not like, oh, maybe he was hinting at the lamb from Abraham and Isaac. No, he was saying straight up, the sacrifice is here. It's needed. We need it. God sent it, and behold it. Take this in. Big statement in those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words.
Massive. I mean, and you could keep plumbing the depths because, as we know, that lamb that the Jewish culture used, it could not have a broken bone.
Right. No spot or blemish.
And so when we take a look at, right, or spot or blemish. So we take a look at Jesus. Why didn't they break his bones? They broke the leg bones of the thief on the right and the thief on the left, but Jesus had already expired, so they didn't break his bones. They weren't being nice. They were fulfilling the reality of the truth that this Lamb of God could not have a broken bone or could not have a spot or a blemish. I'm telling you, when you keep letting God, as they say here, be the teacher, he'll reveal these truths to you. And as a child of the Father, with awe and wonder, go, wow, Daddy, I never knew that. Wow, Father, thank you for sharing that with me. And then God the Father, who goes, that's my boy. That's my daughter down there. He gives you a little bit more. He unveils a little bit more. He doesn't drown you, but it's awesome. That's the relationship the Father wants with each of us every day. You know, people say, you know, that was a coincidence. And I love Albert Einstein, especially with his nutball hair and his tongue hanging out in the one picture. His quote was this, a coincidence. It's just God wanted to remain anonymous. Even Einstein, all the scientific mind, recognized the reality that science proves out God is real. God is real. Because you can't make something from nothing unless you're God.
I guess it could be nice to have a disciple or two, right? I'm just thinking of John. You know, worked so hard, sacrificed so much, living in the desert, eating, you know, locusts and wild honey, and you know, people are starting to follow him, right? He has disciples. You know, it said John was standing with two of his disciples, and then Jesus walked by, and he didn't say, "Yo, guys, look over here," to avert their attention to distract them from Jesus, but no, he. Like here,
yes.
Here he is. Here's the one that we've been waiting for, right? So, in all humility, he knew his was a time of preparation, and you know, I guess his mission is really summed up with what happened with Andrew. It says Andrew was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. So, John was that voice of one crying out in the desert, and one of his main guys heard. And listened with ears of their body and the ears of their heart, and followed Jesus. Everything that John was talking about, everything he was doing, was for that moment. And they followed Jesus, which is awesome. That's so cool. But in his flesh, he could have maybe delayed it a little bit. That's pretty nice having these guys around, you know,
yeah,
hanging on my every word. But he knew that wasn't his mission.
Yeah, and here we have John as a sign pointing towards Jesus, and from that time on, we are a sign to point people towards Jesus. And you have huge crowds gathering to John for John's baptism of repentance, and John never gave up his call to be a sign and pointed people towards Jesus. From that time on, there's no beating around the bush. Our call in life is to be that sign and say, behold, the Lamb of God. Like later on in here, it says, when it talks about they walked up to Jesus, it says, he first found his brother Simon and told him, we found the Messiah. That's our calling. Like if we have found the Messiah, that should change our life. That should change our family's life. That should change our friend's life, because we're hardwired in our DNA to look for it until we find the Messiah. And if that has truly happened in our lives, we're going to want that for somebody else. And we're not going to let a discussion about politics or religion or it those things, they're not even worth the conversation, because the real conversation is, we found the Messiah, the Son of God. He wants fellowship with me. He wants fellowship with you. I have found it, and this is why my life is different now. It's a big deal. The first thing Jesus says to, when the disciple comes after him, he turns and looks at him and says, what are you looking for? I think Jesus is asking all of us that question. What are you looking for? Are you looking for an easier life? Are you looking for an answer to prayer? Are you looking for more money? Are you looking for a promotion, recognition, more love from people, more notoriety? And they answered by saying, where are you staying, teacher? And he's like, oh, you want fellowship. You care about where I'm laying my head down tonight. You want to be with me. Okay, that's why I'm here as well. I want fellowship. So then he says, come with me and you'll see. And it's the same thing that God said to Adam and Eve in the garden. His first question was, where are you? He wasn't asking the question, I'll just say it this way. He was asking the question because he was coming there to meet with them because he wanted fellowship. He knew they were hiding, but he wasn't looking for the answer of, we're hiding from you because we're naked. He was looking for, where are you? It's like coming home from work and you're expecting your spouse to be there, and for some reason they're not there. They're at the neighbor's or something, but they didn't call and text you, and you're looking forward to your routine of giving them a hug or telling them about something cool that happened today or this awesome God moment, and you can't wait, and you walk in the door and you're like, where are you? You're not asking necessarily because you think something terrible happened to them. You're asking because I want a hug and a kiss from you. I want to embrace. I want to share my life with you. I want to hear about your day. There was something that you were going to follow up with me on, or I have this awesome story about a person I just ran into, and this happened and that happened. You're looking for that fellowship, that communion, that time of togetherness. God's looking for it in Genesis, and then here Jesus says, what are you looking for? I think we can spend 5 minutes a day and just ask ourselves, look ourselves in the mirror and say, what am I looking for?
And I think it's so important you pointed out that word, his disciples, because the mistake many of us make is we stop at a person. Oh, John Paul II. Oh, Mother Mary. Oh, Billy Graham. Oh, Rocky Zaria. We stop at a person. Stop it. Number one, the person needs to recognize these people are following me because I'm inviting them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not because I'm a rock star.
Right.
So they need to make sure they're humble like John was. He's not even worthy to untie the sandals on Jesus' feet and point people to Christ and let them leave because they're his sheep and not stop at a person. Because if we stop at a person, it's idolatry. I love Mary, the description of Mary, Mother Mary. She's a hollow reed of God. God chose to come to this earth through her, and people choose to go back to God through Mary. She doesn't get in the way of anything. That's the beauty. But if you stop at Mary, the Catholic Church will tell you that's idolatry. That's blasphemy. That's not Mary's role. Mary's role is to take you to her son,
yeah,
as every good Jewish mother was. So for me, this thing about his disciples, and then when you say, you know, I want to become Jesus' disciple. I'm going to follow him. And I love the word daily. Well, that rings a bell too. Because Jesus says, you want to be my disciple? Let me tell you what it takes. All you got to do is say these six words or say these three sentences and you're in like Flint. No. Jesus says, want to be my disciple? You must do, well, number one, deny yourself. It's not about you. Two, pick up your cross. But don't just pick it up. Embrace it, because the cross is going to form you more perfectly into my image and likeness. And then number three, follow me. Jesus says it right here. Follow me. Come, follow me. And then he uses a key word, daily. If you think you're good to go, hello, the enemy has breached your wall. Because every day is your personal choice, your free will choice, to the invitation from God into that divine intimacy, that relationship that's above all other relationships. It's every day. So when you get up in the morning, do you start your day with God? Because if you don't start your day with God, to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, If you don't start the gift, the fruit of your first day with God, well, so what's more important? The news? The newspaper? Oh, yeah, I'm guilty, so I'm speaking from reality. There's days the newspaper is more important than taking time to read my scriptures.
Get in the good news.
And yeah. Get the good news, right. Yeah.
It reminds me, I'm picturing this story that just took place. So if you get into a political argument right now with some people, if you're on one side or the other, it can really get heated. I said argument. I meant discussion, but realistically, any discussion about politics right now from somebody from the other side or somebody with kind of towing the line.
A differing opinion.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a personal story. I have some friends that I happen to be around when somebody from a political party that I didn't vote for, and they know that I would not vote for them for just reasons of their stance, when the news announced that that person was going to win, their eyes, whether I knew it or not, I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, I knew it. Their eyes were on me. Like, how are you going to, what's the next words out of your mouth going to be? And honestly, I know they're good people and have a good heart, but I really felt, as I reflect back on it, they were looking at me like, okay, what are you going to have to say? Kind of this idea of, there's a trap. Is he going to put his foot in it? And as we started talking about it, I was quiet, which I like being quiet. I like listening more than speaking, but they had enough of that. And they said, Cameron, can you share what you're thinking? And immediately, I at the time, I was trying to think of like, okay, I know I'm going to get called on at some point here soon. What am I going to share? What am I going to share? What am I going to share? And during that time, it was like, oh, I'm talking directly to Holy Spirit. And I'm asking him, what am I going to share? Right. And when the time came, in the moment it came, I then had the strength to say, are you ready? Here we go. We're going to bow our heads. And we prayed for that man, and we blessed him, and we asked that his future generations would know the goodness of God in their family's life, that he would be in love with Jesus because Jesus is in love with him, and that everybody around him would be infected. And he's obviously called to a high calling of influence and potential because he can do things that no other human can do. And it was this time of, Lord, we bless him. We thank you for your goodness on his life. You did not create him by accident. We pray that any enemy forces that would be against him, that we cut him off at the root. He would not partner with them. He would partner with goodness and truth and life. And it was this time of like, amen. Everybody raised their eyes and it's like, yeah, that was good. That's what we should be doing. I did not. Okay. Yeah. And it was just like this instant moment, the room, you could feel the presence of God in the room because it was this, it spoke to me as much as it did to them. Because it really was shifting towards, and I've seen it too many times, it was shifting towards, oh, you think you're right about this point, I have this point. And it wasn't that, it was this, Lord, what's his purpose? What is his calling? And I pray it forth. Dispatch your angels, line up people in his lives, let him see, let him hear. And it said, I don't even like talking like this, but it said more about me than any words or arguments that I could have said in the time to like try to come against like, you know, this politic versus that politic.
Well, I know it upset my wife at the results of the election, and my wife is like in the deep end of, you know, this can't be. And so she said, are you praying? I said, absolutely. In fact, at Mass this morning, sweetheart, this is right after the election was over, I said, the Lord reminded me, your role as a Christian is to pray for the president-elect and the vice president-elect by name and keep doing that.
That's right.
That's your calling. Because at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is still on the throne.
That's right.
And so that revelation so gave me the courage to say to my wife, and I have challenged her. I said, sweetheart, turn off the news. She turned it off. She fasted from news now for 21 days. She's on a fast.
That's awesome.
I said, because it is sucking the life out of you.
Yeah.
I said, God is in control. End of the day, he See, Jesus Christ is on the throne, and we're called to pray for these people by name, every one of them. Not sit around the enemy's campfire and complain and criticize and judge. Stop.
Dave, if I can just interject there, I ran into a guy. He has 2 to 4 o'clock a.m. holy hour, and then I see him at 4, and we have this time of just fellowship in, you know, in that transition. And he gave a word to me that was so simple and timely, and just gave me this encouragement to be more intentional. He said he heard in a homily, the priest said, whenever we talk about the evil and the negative and we're enthroning Satan. We're putting Satan on a throne. Whenever we, you know, talk about goodness and truth and beauty and make, like, yeah, there's so much good going on in the world today. Whenever we do that, then we're enthroning Jesus.
Yeah.
So with everything we say, think, do, act, whatever, we're making the choice. Who are we enthroning?
Right.
And that's powerful.
And it's not just about disobeying the Lord. It's about obeying a different master. The same thing that Adam and Eve did in the garden. They didn't just disobey God, but they changed masters with who they said their yes to.
Yes, and we have to realize that every man and every woman is a precious son and daughter of the Father. Yes, Satan can use anyone, and he has his wiles, including you and me. So our call is to stop, drop, and pray for them by name. God bless each and every one of you. Let's be messengers of the message of love, hope, and mercy. God bless you. Have a great day.
Amen.
Reflections from the Heart has been presented by Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. We hope that you've been blessed and encouraged as you listen to Reflections from the Heart. If so, please consider participating in a Gospel Reflection Group. For more information on locations and times of Gospel Reflection Groups, or how to start a Gospel Reflection Group in your area, and to learn about all of the family of ministries, please visit our website at stewardshipmission.org or call us at 717-367-0100. Stewardship, a Mission of Faith, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and depends on donations from people like you to make Reflections from the Heart possible. If you've enjoyed this broadcast, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making a tax-deductible donation by visiting stewardshipmission.org or call us at 717-367-0100. On behalf of all of us at Stewardship, a Mission of Faith, thank you for listening. And until next time, may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.